KSL at night. KSL at night.
And you're back with us on KSL at night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordis, and I'm riding solo today. Next week, if you recall, about a year ago, we had the trial in Boise, Idaho of Lori Vallow. Next week is the trial involving her husband, Chad Daybell. And it's almost a year later, it seems like. I recall that one was about this time of year. Lori was tried. She was convicted. She was sentenced to multiple life sentences. I think she's down in Arizona now awaiting trial there for other homicides. But her husband Chad's trial is beginning next week on Monday. The cases were separated, if you recall, some time ago, in part because Lori had claimed that she was and actually had established that she was incompetent. That put her trial on hold. Chad was ready to move forward. And then it sort of switched around where Lori's competence was restored. Her case went to trial, but the state at the last minute, really within just the last week or two before that trial, decided that they were going to forego the death penalty on her case. They separated the two trials because Chad's case was still going forward as a death penalty case. And Lori, of course, went to trial. We know what happened there. So joining us this evening is Lauren Steinbrecher, KSL TV reporter who covered the Lori Vallow case. Lauren, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me.
And talk to our listeners about just the atmosphere up there. You were there last year when the Lori Vallow trial went. And it's not a particularly small courthouse. I mean, it's Boise, Idaho. It's the biggest city up there. But there was a lot of hubbub. I mean, that courthouse was just packed with people. And just talk to our listeners about the atmosphere when you were up there last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, last year, a big factor was the fact that this trial wasn't live streamed in any way. There were no cameras or recording allowed in the courtroom. So the only way to really know, unless you were following, you know, someone along on Twitter or on X, was to be there in person, and either to be in the courtroom itself or they had overflow rooms. And so people came in from around the country, not just journalists, but I mean, people who were following the case. You know, some who were, you know, more interested in true crime and stuff, but people were traveling to Boise just to be in that courtroom. And because of that, there were so many people, you know, outside standing in line, inside, you know, on breaks, a lot of chatter. I think we really saw that in the culmination of the verdict when, I mean, people were lining up in masses outside the courtroom, you know, cheering when that came down. And so it was a very lively atmosphere every single day with just all different kinds of walks of life. And so it's hard to know how it's going to be with Chad's trial because of that live streaming element. But I think, you know, in Lori's trial, you really had to be there in person to understand what was happening every day.
And you and I were there in person. I was only there for the first couple days. You probably covered more than that. Well, you obviously covered more than that. But I was in one of those overflow rooms and was able to watch it. It was live streamed for us in those rooms. Why do you think the judge decided to live stream this trial? And is it the same judge that Lori had?
Yes. Yeah, it's the same judge, Judge Boyce. So I know that he wasn't wanting cameras in the courtroom for her trial. And, you know, there were different reasons kind of that people thought maybe why that was the case. I don't know if he ever said outright, but I think it had to do with, you know, just making sure with how big of a case this was that it stayed away from being a spectacle, if you will, and more, you know, so the jury could stay focused. But then I think because so many people showed up, and I mean, we were having tickets they were giving us, you know, to get your seats in the room and the overflow. I'm wondering if that factored into the decision to allow it to be live streams, because then you don't have to have people travel across the country, you know, to be there in person to report on it. They can watch the live stream. If anyone is just interested in the trial, you know, they don't have to spend that money on a plane ticket. They can just stay home. And so I'm kind of wondering if, after the way things played out last year, that factored into that decision this time.
And Lauren, you and I have talked about the death penalty in this case, but let me ask you this as a reporter, did it surprise you that the government chose to pursue the death penalty on Chad when they didn't with Lori. I mean, did that, just knowing the facts of the case, and you know it as well as anybody, both of their relative culpability, did it surprise you that they're pursuing that with him?
No, and I know you and I have, you know, talked about it at length too and in different interviews, and I think that there were some factors with Lori and, you know, her mental capability. You know, she was, like you had mentioned, incompetent, found incompetent for a while before competency was restored. And, you know, that could play a factor in that. I know ultimately what removing the death penalty in her case was pinned upon evidence that was presented, I think, too late or after a deadline that the prosecution presented. Obviously, they would make sure that everything was absolutely correct for Chad. So that wouldn't happen. But I think in terms of their roles or their alleged roles, it's a little bit different. You don't have that mental competency factoring into it. For him, you have that additional murder charge, first degree murder charge for his late wife, Tammy, which you did not have for Lori. So I think there is enough of those differences. And, you know, again, with that late evidence that ultimately kind of led to the death penalty being pulled from her case, that the prosecution, you know, absolutely made sure everything was buttoned up for his.
Lori's youngest, JJ, it was one of the victims. And as we recall at her trial, that JJ's grandfather, Larry Woodcock, was very present, was very vocal. You had a chance to talk to him about this case, and I don't know if you can share much of that with us, but is he, he was quite a personality and a very interesting man. What did he have to say about Chad's trial, if it's any different than Lori's?
I just talked to him about that. You know, they're getting ready to come up here. They won't be here, you know, on jury selection day one, but they will be up here and they will be in the courtroom every single day. You know, they didn't know, you know, Kay and Larry did not know Chad. They have never, you know, met him in any sort of formal way except sitting in court behind, you know, where he's at. So I think that is one major difference, is they had that relationship with Lori. They trusted Lori. That hits them differently than Chad being on trial and someone that they had absolutely no prior history with, who wasn't a caretaker, you know, to their grandson and wasn't a parental figure to their grandson. So he kind of expressed that he really feels for Chad's family, that, you know, the position that they're in, and, you know, his thoughts are kind of more with their family, because I think for him, you know, this is just round two of the justice system, and hoping, you know, for them that the justice system, you know, plays out in a fair way. And as far as the death penalty, because that wasn't a factor for Lori, he actually said that he feels like it is more of a punishment if somebody lives out life in prison versus if, you know, let's say Chad is found guilty, the jury decides death penalty. You know, if you're taking someone's life away, then that's it. It's gone in a moment. And so he kind of expressed, you know, that he feels like maybe more of a punishment would be something like life versus the actual death penalty. But at the same time, trusting the process and the justice system, and said ultimately, you know, whatever's decided, you know, for him, hopefully guilt, but beyond that, they would respect the decisions that are made.
Has the judge indicated, Lauren, that how long this trial is expected to go? We know that in a death penalty case, and you and I talked about this the other day, it's a longer jury selection process. It's a bifurcated trial where you have the guilt phase and the penalty phase. And I forget how long Lori's trial went, but it seems it was probably about 4 weeks. Is Chad's expected to go longer than that?
Yeah, I think hers with that 1 week of jury selection ended up being about, I think it was exactly five, if I remember correctly. And the estimate was a 4 to 6 window, so it was right in there. Chad's, the estimate is 8 to 12. And we know that his attorney plans to present witnesses and put on more of a defense than we saw in Lori's case. And I think that will be a factor as well, as we don't know how many witnesses, we don't know what kinds of forensic experts or anything that Chad's attorney would end up calling. And so, you know, we don't know. In Lori's case, it was less than a day, you know, that her defense attorneys were up there I'm not sure if his will be a few days, a week or two. So that will, you know, also play into things. But I think that 8 to 12 is the estimate that we've kind of been given all along, not only from his attorney, but from the judge.
Interesting. Well, Lauren Steinbrecher, KSL TV reporter, we will watch you and hopefully get some of your coverage when it starts. And thank you for joining us this evening on KSL
at
Night.
Thank you.
And when we come back after the break, more disturbing news about the Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt cases from St. George. Stay with us.